heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
This is The National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry, Communications Director for the VFW. Big show today, and as always, Jerry, the dedication.
Hey, we do this show for you, the men and women serving on active duty, the Guard and Reserves, to the millions of veterans out there, and of course to all their families. We're here for you. God bless you all.
So how did you celebrate Veterans Day?
Veterans Day? Yeah. Very quietly for a change.
It's probably good.
Normally, I'm tied up on the radio, right. You know, by the phone, doing radio interviews. Normally, that starts about 6 in the morning and runs till about 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
But this year, thankfully, I got a reprieve. So, you know, I did laundry and caught up on some things, did some reading, and
yeah, there you go.
All the exciting stuff a bachelor does.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, but, you know, and it's not up to you guys to celebrate yourselves. I mean, you know, that's a day that you should just kind of take for yourself.
Well, you know, post all around the country, all around the world, participate in some way on Veterans Day. For us at National Headquarters, you know, we're very busy leading up to that day. Some of us are pretty burned out by the time November 11th rolls around, and our national leadership, of course, are in Washington, D.C., and in other parts of the country participating in Veteran Day ceremonies.
I always find it so interesting to see what the politicians are doing on Veterans Day because...
Oh, they're out there.
Oh, yeah. They are out there.
You don't. A lot of times you won't see them all year long.
Right. Yeah.
Man, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, they're out there. You know, interesting. Let me tell you a little story. Back in Michigan, you know, I was real active and helped set up a lot of events and facilitate a lot of things.
Right.
I started something back in Michigan some years ago, and some of the veterans groups followed my lead on that, I'm proud to say. That irritated me. You wouldn't see these guys. You never see them at a meeting or anything, but, man, they wanted that photo op to be at that ceremony.
Yep.
So I would invite a congressman to a ceremony or a senator, but I didn't give them a speaking role.
You made them listen?
I would acknowledge they were there.
Right.
Thank them for being there as a guest, and that would be it.
What would they do with their speech? Because you know they brought it.
They didn't give a speech. No, I would let them know ahead of time.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good.
No speechifying during a veteran ceremony. We want you there. You should be there so you can talk to your constituents.
Right. And find out what's going on.
Right. And, you know, some of them didn't like it, but a couple of them understood it.
Well, and that's so when you can find out who the,
the
real supporters are.
Right.
You know, if they take that and they go back and use it for something that that they need.
Yeah, because don't stand up in front of this crowd of veterans and their families and these service members and give us a line of bull about how you're behind them 100%.
And we won't see you again until next year.
That's right, when they're, you know, you still don't have adequate funding for the VA, when there wasn't a new GI Bill at that time, when veterans were living in the street. I didn't want to hear all that crap.
Boy, I bet they couldn't wait to come to your meetings, Jerry.
Yeah, I was popular.
Hey, we got a big show today. A lot of stuff going on. We're going to have, first of all, Larry Wade is going to be on with us from Pennsylvania, and he's doing a lot of great stuff with the VFW there. And then we're going to talk, you know, about the same time last year?
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
We were in North Carolina.
That's right.
And we were celebrating the partnership between the VFW and NASCAR, and in particular the Kevin Harvick racing team, and that has just been renewed, and that is outstanding news. We're going to have one of the drivers on, Cale Gale, who I think is 14 or 15 years old.
Yeah, I was, I wonder if he's sprouted hair yet.
He doesn't have a driver's not old enough for a driver's license, but the guy just keeps winning.
They're going to throw him out of high school.
Kevin Harvick and Ron Hornaday and all those guys on the Kevin Harvick team. And Kevin Harvick is racing and winning this year.
And winning, yeah. Yeah. He was like...
Just won in Phoenix.
He was in the top 10 last week,
yeah.
I think. And
Ron Hornaday
Wow.
3 points out of first place.
Yeah.
We picked a pretty good team.
We did. Great team.
Gail Gale's going to be on with us here in just a little bit. And a couple of hot topics to get to today. The U.S. orders the secret Al-Qaeda raids. What's going on with this?
Well, I look at the news a little bit differently, perhaps. Of course, this came out over Al Jazeera.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. The U.S. government authorized secret military attacks on Al-Qaeda in Syria, Pakistan, and wherever they are. Well, hello. Good.
Yeah, right.
Wherever they are, take them out and kill them.
Yep.
So, and if people don't like that, then they need to get real because, this war against terrorism or however you want to label it. Listen, Al-Qaeda is the bad guys. Those are the guys who took down the Trade Center.
Yep.
Who slammed into the Pentagon and killed thousands of people, and they do it again. So, if they're in Pakistan, Syria, shame on Pakistan and Syria. Shame on anybody that's giving them safe harbor, and we need to take them out.
Absolutely, and in the story here from Al Jazeera, how odd is it to see a picture of Syrians killed during a raid?
Well, it's Syria. It's been no secret. Syria has been one of the safe harbors I just talked about. It's been a place where Al Qaeda and other groups could. It was an open gate
Absolutely.
Into Iraq.
Oh, sure.
And for years, we've tried to get Syria to shut that down. We've tried the diplomatic way,
Yep.
And,
This is a way that they get the message.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Exactly.
So if... if you don't want to smoke in anybody, then knock it off.
That's right. And if you may not see that in the described quite that way in the national news media,
right?
You're always going to get the truth on this program,
right? And I'm sure you're not going to get the Secretary of State or the President to say, "Hey, if you don't want us to smoke their ass,
right.
Knock it off."
Go to smoketheirass.com.
Yeah,
or don't.
You got to read between the lines.
Hey, listen, we're going to read between all the lines. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
The only truth you'll hear on the radio, the National Defense.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Veterans of Foreign Wars believes in active allegiance to flag and country. Through legislative activism and service to our military forces, veterans, their families, and communities. Freedom starts at home. Pledge your allegiance again. If you're a veteran and served overseas, you may be eligible to become a member of the nation's elite veterans organization, the Veterans of Foreign Wars.
You've served your country, now you can help your country serve others. Call 1-888-JOIN-VFW. That's 1-888-JOIN-VFW.
The following letters were written by our troops.
My dear fellow Americans, I truly appreciate your support. I was starting to wonder if people had forgotten about us over here. But then one of my buddies showed me this website. And now as tears are streaming down my face... I can see for sure that you haven't. Private Emily B., U.S. Army.
It's so heartwarming to see the American people not letting the men and women of the armed forces be forgotten. Your letters make a group of grown men, battle-hardened and gruff, act like a bunch of kids around a Christmas tree. Thanks. Staff Sergeant Matthew H., U.S. Army.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to National Defense. And if you smell fumes, you know it. Cale Gale is on with us from the Kevin Harvick Racing Team. Cale, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We just arrived here for the final race of the season here in Miami, and it's really sunny down here. We had a slight climate change from where we was at this morning, North Carolina.
Oh, well, now that's where we were about a year ago when we teamed up with Kevin Harvick of the VFW for the first time, and now renewing that agreement. But we were down there with you guys, and you couldn't have been nicer. And Ron Hornaday was down there, and Kevin and Delaney. It was just so nice. And then brought that group in from Fort Bragg. So this is great, and it's great that we're renewing that partnership because we couldn't be more proud to be with you guys.
Yeah, we're really excited about the partnership again with VFW. I mean, it's we had a really good time this year, and hopefully next year we can continue and fly the red, white, and blue some more. And you know, it's just a good tribute to what the soldiers have done for us throughout the years, and what they're still doing for us now, and to combine it and go out there and feel like you're racing for your country when you're out there racing. It's a pretty neat deal, and we're looking forward to doing it again next year.
So, Cale, how are you doing this year?
We've had a pretty good season as far as, you know, with me racing partial schedule. I mean, I feel like we've had a up and down year, obviously. I feel like here towards the end of the season on the nationwide car, we were more on the upside versus the downside. And we're just doing, you know, all we can do. And we got Ron right there in position to win the championship this weekend in the truck series. And hopefully he can do that. And getting down to crunch time here, 3 points to go in the last race in the truck series, hopefully we can pull it off.
Would you tell him not to crash?
I think he'll be good this weekend. I'm a real good truck and stuff, so I think he'll be fine.
Well, that was pretty amazing last week. You know, he had a little bit of misfortune, right? What was it, the first lap?
Yeah, it was the first lap of the race there. And just some racing deals. Hopefully he won't have that kind of situation again this year.
And y'all were able to get that truck back on the track. Now, didn't another racing team come over and help you guys out with that?
Yeah, we had a couple of the guys from the Roush organization come over there and help us, and we got it back on track quick.
And that's what happened.
Actually, ended up gaining points on bits, and this weekend we won't have that kind of trouble, and we can have a real good truck and get a victory.
See, Cale, that's what happens though when you got VFW on the side of you. See, all the racing teams, they think they're helping America.
That's right. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was a patriotic deal. They come over and help, and they weren't like normal racers.
That's right.
Now, are we supposed to you know, try and put some hoodoo on Benson? So, you know, I don't want to wish him bad luck, but
we want Ron in
there. Don't want him to have good luck
either.
That's
right.
That's right. I think we can put it in God's hands, and if it's be this weekend, it'll be meant to be, and I think they'll go out there and do what racers do and race for it all the way to the end.
So, Cale, what's going to be your schedule like for next year? Do you know? I know that you've driven some truck, you've driven a car. What's your schedule like for next year?
You know, we're working on ironing everything out. We'll see how it all ends up, but, you know, it'll be a partial schedule in the nationwide car. We're not real sure on all the exact plans, but hopefully we'll get to run, you know, about as many races or maybe a little bit more than we did this year. But we'll see how it all plays out, and we're looking forward to having the VFW paint scheme on a couple of the races next year and also seeing on Ron's truck again.
Well, you know, again, I'm going to be serious here for a minute. We're just, everyone at the VFW is just proud to be associated with the KHI team, and you know, you've always been a gracious guest whenever you've come on the show, but I do have one question for you. Now, right. Last year, the first time we had you on the show, when we first teamed up, we were getting some background on you, and I think it come up about all the women going to be chasing you around, and you said you were still going out with your high school sweetheart. I just want to know if that's still going on.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, because we were under the impression then that that's what the chase meant. Was just the wimp, you know, but we've understood, you know, since then. But we're talking to Cale Gale from the Kevin Harvick racing team. And, Cale, I want to ask you, that was so moving, and I want to say, I think it was at the Lowe's Motor Speedway where you had your grandfather and honored your grandfather. And I think it was probably the first time that has happened. Can you talk about that a little bit, about the experience with your grandfather last year?
Oh yeah, he's been a part of the VFW himself for over 50 years and was in World War II, and still I think he attended the Veterans Day parade himself last week. So it's still, it's the VFW is part of my family, and to have him on the race car means a lot.
But you had him out there in the middle of the track, right? Didn't you bring him out?
No, he wasn't able to make it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was under the weather then, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, I know that was the original plan for that. I just thought that was so cool.
I have another question, you know, because I'm the serious guy here, and I'm the NASCAR, facts and figures statistic guy. I also need to know if you've got your driver's license yet, Cale.
Yep, we got it. We're legal. We can drive down the highway.
All right.
You know, Cale, and I just want to apologize for Jerry, because I know the first time he met you, he asked you if you were old enough to drive. And, I mean, you look young, but the guy's old enough to drive. He knows what he's doing out there. He's got to get out there and do that.
Well, last time I interviewed him, I was like, we're here at the VFW National Convention talking to Cale, something like that.
Yeah. Again, let me apologize for Jerry. But hey,
how's Kevin doing as far as standing?
He won. He won last week, didn't he?
Yeah, he won in the truck race and last weekend, and he's running the truck again this weekend, and he's finishing up his cup deal. And we got Ryan Newman in our Nationwide car here for the last race of the season.
Oh, that's right. And we were talking a little bit earlier off the air about Rick Wren. That guy. You know, he was so impressive when we met him, the crew chief down there in North Carolina. He really holds it together, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. I think that team is obviously built for right now. When it comes down to crunch time, I believe that Rick Wren and all the guys, they're prepared for this weekend, and I think they'll be able to come through for us.
You know, and I was just so impressed with the fact that Rick Wren requires all of his pit crew to work out 1 hour a day. They got to work out.
Yeah.
They've got to be in peak physical condition. I mean, it's a lot like the military, so I can see where the VFW partnership comes in handy. But does he make the drivers do that too?
It depends. I don't think Ron does, but some of the drivers do and some of them don't. I mean, it's
Ron's kind of long in the tooth to be working out anyway, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he just gets up on the wheel.
Hey, listen, whatever he does it right. 3 points out of first place, that's fantastic, and it's just so nice that the VFW is a part of that. So, hey, Cale, I know that you had to race in. You had some trouble on the plane. The plane got in late. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today.
Anytime, man. And you guys take care and be watching that race tomorrow night.
Well, we will be. Hey, good luck.
Thank you.
All right, buddy.
Thank you, Cale. Cale Gale, Kevin Harvick, racing team, number 77 car and number 33 truck series. And just a good, good bunch of people down
right.
there.
Right. And Cale's a really good guy. You know, we can kid around with him.
Yeah.
And luckily he's too small to beat hell out of me.
That's
when
right.
he does see me. So, I take a little bit extra license with that.
And listen, tune in a couple of weeks and maybe Jerry will get his name right. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
We're standing guard with the truth. The National Defense.
In a military warehouse south of Washington, D.C., a USO stuffing party is in full swing. By the end of the day, volunteers will have stuffed over 10,000 USO care packages, packed them in boxes, loaded them on trucks, and sent them on their way to our soldiers in Iraq, Afghanistan, and military bases around the world. They'll stuff them full of things that most of us take for granted, but that our troops don't often have. Things like toiletries, playing cards, candy, books, little things. Little things that carry an enormous message to our troops. Little things like, thank you. Like we'll never forget you. Like we're behind you 100%. Like we love and cherish each and every one of you. Little things. We're all about the little things. We're the USO. So are you. For more information and to find out how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
With us today are Sally and her big sister Marcy.
Hi.
Hello.
To share some stuff we've learned.
Kids and sugar, a combustible mix.
Hey Marcy, let's go to the zoo.
Maybe the park.
We could fly a kite.
I want a hot dog.
No.
Ice cream.
Is that a horse?
I love horses.
Hey, let's dance.
Maybe that's enough chocolate.
And sing.
La la la. La 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 la.
It's also not uncommon for a kid to demonstrate special powers.
Did you know I can run through walls?
No.
Watch this.
Oh, Sally.
Don't worry. I also have amazing healing powers.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
That's all for now.
Welcome back to National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry. And let's talk a little bit about the East Coast, the VFW.
East Coast, VFW, strong presence. Pennsylvania, state of Pennsylvania has one of the highest veteran populations in the country. VFW is a strong presence, always has had. Along with those eastern states. And
I'm not too surprised by that, to be honest. I lived in Pennsylvania for 3 years in Pittsburgh.
Did you really? Yeah.
Pittsburgh. Yeah. And those guys are, they're ready to go. Blue-collar guys, ready to work.
That's right.
And that's what they're used to. So
they roll their sleeves up and absolutely get to it.
Yeah. And Larry Wade from the VFW is on with us, and he is in Pennsylvania today. Larry, how are you doing?
Very good. How's Randy and Jerry doing?
Doing great. How about them Stillers?
Well, they slipped a little bit. Yeah. I hope they get back on their feet and get going.
Somebody's going to want a Big Bender enlist if this continues.
What sport are you guys talking about?
Yeah, it's called football.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Stillers.
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 Okay, I get it. All right.
It's like an egg painted brown with stripes on it.
There you go. You got to go slow with Jerry sometimes. Well, you know that, Larry.
Right. We understand that.
All right. Well, that's nice, Larry.
That's good.
Yeah. Anyway, Larry, we need to mention is the VFW department commander. He's the big kahuna there in Pennsylvania. So we need to mention that. Hey, Larry. Randy and I were just talking about how strong VFW is on the East Coast, especially in Pennsylvania. Was I correct in saying Pennsylvania still has one of the highest veteran populations in the country?
You are correct.
Why is that? Is that because of simply because of the type of people like Randy was talking about who hail from Pennsylvania? They just get in there and volunteer and are willing to serve the country.
Well, if you look over the years, Pennsylvania has been always the largest volunteer state for our military. Even the Medal of Honor winners, if you look back on history on that, your Medal of Honor winners are higher in Pennsylvania than any other state.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that, and I certainly didn't know that it had the highest volunteer rate.
Yeah, Tennessee calls herself the volunteer state, but I believe Pennsylvania will take that.
Yeah.
They've been pushed aside, I see.
And, what's interesting is Pennsylvania doesn't have, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be, do they have any military installations? I mean, regular military installations in Pennsylvania?
Well, certainly. That's how we get all the military from here.
What do you got in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
We have a lot of the National Guard with their striker forces and so forth.
I mean regular Army type, regular Air Force bases, things like that.
Right.
Well, see, you hurt me a little bit on that because I was Navy.
I'm sorry.
So you go back.
So we have to go down to Philadelphia, you know, and get into the harbor down there little bit.
Okay.
But don't go back to Valley Forge.
Well, my point is you don't have a Fort Bragg or a Fort Stewart, anything like that.
No.
But you do have a phenomenal amount of National Guard troops.
Right. And we have a lot of those going out, Randy and Jerry, on the striker forces are going out. We also have the helicopter unit out of Johnstown that will be deploying, and some had just come back.
So we're talking, I did a little bit of research, and our good friend David Sandman, who's always on the ball, helped me out with this. Right now, Pennsylvania has about 17,000 Guard troops currently deployed.
Right.
Wow.
And the striker group you were talking about in the aviation unit, you're talking about 6,000 more.
Right, that's going to be going out in January.
Unbelievable. That's a lot of friends and neighbors who are serving in the Guard who are deployed.
It's like entire communities.
Yeah.
Right. And this is where the Veterans of Foreign Wars is starting to really roll in to help. You know, we're trying to give family support, you know, as their loved ones are deployed. We go into the support meetings with the families, and we talk to them, letting them know what to sort of expect when they do come home. When they do come home, we're trying to get them into the VA systems as soon as we can.
And how are you doing that with department service officers?
With our department service officers we have out in the field, going to the support meetings, going in at the homecomings, and talking with the troops and getting them involved and back into the VA system.
Now, keep in mind, and this is for the audience, we already know this, but all these things you're doing, attending these meetings, you're doing picnics and dinners and all that types of things to help support the families, right?
Right.
The service officers. You know, we're talking about volunteers, Randy.
Yeah.
These are people who, you know, they're not getting paid to do this, and they're taking time out of their own busy lives to make sure that our Pennsylvania people, our Guard people, know that we're behind them.
Well, and also the fact that, he mentioned a homecoming. That's so important. I mean, to not only be there to let these folks know how welcome they are,
right,
and how much they're appreciated, but hey, listen, we can also get your families involved in a program that will get you, you know, back into the mainstream way of doing everything.
Right.
Answering questions.
And you're supporting the families while the troops are deployed, obviously, right, Larry?
Right.
So, and that means so much to that deployed service member.
And it does, and it helps the families out so much, you know, because everybody goes past, they look at a VFW sign, they say, gee, there's another bar. But they need to go beyond that bar. We're inviting the families in when their loved ones are deployed for the kids for a Christmas party or an Easter egg hunt. In the summer times, a lot of the posts have barbecues and other functions going on, and we want to make sure that those families are invited there.
Yeah, and I want to make a point of saying this, that you know, it's part of the stereotype that it's been attached to the VFW,
right,
for far too long. The fact of the matter is that only a very small percentage of VFW posts actually have canteens.
Right.
Or bars. and that's the truth.
Wow.
Yeah, very small percentage. So you're also doing something as far as providing free membership, right?
Right. What we're doing is getting free membership out there to the post of their choice. If it's in their local area, that's where we try to place them. And that gives them a chance for a year to look at the newspaper that we have out there, to see what the National Veterans of Foreign Wars is doing, and gives them a chance to look at the organization as a whole, as it being much more than a bar, you know, doing for the families and trying to help our veterans as they come home.
Hey, wait a minute, though, Larry. Active duty, you can't be active duty and join the VFW. I know that. because the emails come in, and you can't be active. You got to be.
I'm not a veteran.
You got to be a veteran of at least 20 years to get into VFW.
I'm not a veteran. I'm still in the military.
Why is that? Now, you talk about stereotypes.
Right.
Why do people still think that? I mean, you guys have so many active duty in a VFW.
Yeah.
And continue to grow those numbers.
Right.
And people still ask the question, I can't be in a VFW. I'm active duty. Of course you can be.
That's right. You are a veteran.
From day one.
Of a foreign war.
From day one.
And that makes you eligible.
Right?
Right. And the best way to look at it, anyone is in harm's way is eligible for the Veterans of Foreign Wars over the age of 18.
There you go. I mean, from the day you you step into those boots, you're a veteran.
Right.
I would imagine.
Yes.
As far as the VFW is concerned. So, yeah, just, you know, don't let that bother you, because I get those questions a lot, too. It's, you know, yeah, the VFW, I see all the programs you do. I see all the help you give families, but you know what? I'm not retired yet. I'm not.
I'm not out of the military.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can't join.
Of course you can. Absolutely.
Those free memberships. Now, who picks up the cost on those free memberships?
Either the post, and if the post won't do it, department will.
How many posts won't do it?
Very few.
Give us those names.
I knew that. Yeah. Let's get to them. Yeah.
Regretfully, there are a couple out there that won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
How many posts in the Department of Pennsylvania?
531.
Okay.
That's
a lot of posts. And
so that's a lot of free memberships, too.
Yeah, absolutely right.
That's outstanding.
Well, you're talking 17,000 guard troops deployed now, another 6,000. Yeah. Now, you're doing some things as far as direct support to the families and the troops. These are tangible things that they can see, they can touch, they can feel. But you're also trying to do some other things. You're approaching the state legislature on a very important issue, I understand.
Right. We're looking at suicide prevention. And that's something that has been covered up. It has been sort of saying that it has not happened and it is not happening, but it is. And it is a serious problem right now. Because if we lose one, that's one too many.
Right.
That's right.
You know, as far as I'm concerned. So what we're doing right now is we're working with the Veterans Association. We have a young lady down in Lebanon, VA, that is working with me right now to start a suicide prevention program. And I have just approached Harrisburg. That's where I'm speaking from right now today, in Senator Wozniak's office. He was kind enough to loan me his phone. And we're talking to them now to try to set something up in Pennsylvania that if someone does call, that they can get help right now, not 4 days from now, not 2 days from now, because that may be too late. We want that right now.
Well, that's a great effort and certainly a great initiative. And I can't imagine any elected official.
Especially one who lets you use their phone.
Right.
Yeah, given the fact that Pennsylvania does have the veteran population that it does, I can't imagine the state not getting behind that initiative.
Yeah, it's a great concern right now. And the one thing that we're really, really after is not only the help for that veteran if they do call, because it's probably not going to be the veteran that calls, it's going to be a loved one that calls.
Right.
Is the education part of this on family members as to what to look for to give the signs that this may be oncoming.
You know, and when you've got those treatment situations set up, as you know, Larry, I mean, that takes care of a lot of problems because, you know, the families, when they go through this situation, they don't know what to do or where to turn, and there's only a certain amount that they can do themselves. And boy, if you had, once you get that set up and they've got a place and a resource to go to, boy, that's going to make a huge difference.
And you have to figure, too, that this veteran is coming back from a war zone.
Right.
He's already changed.
Yes.
And it's hard for the families to look at this change on how to reaccept them back into the civilian life. So the other change, as far as the suicide goes, might not be apparent to them right away, and that's where the education part's going to come in.
And what makes it difficult, you know, this is my own opinion. One of the things that makes it difficult for the returning veteran is You've changed. Your experience, look, if you're in a war zone, you've changed somehow.
Right.
You're a different person. But when you return home, the people that you left behind that you're returning to, you know, they haven't changed. Their world has remained much the same. So trying to establish the right kind of communication with those you've returned to, I mean, you can't really relate your experience.
Well,
that's very difficult.
And to surround yourself with people, I mean, you've had all these comrades, you know, for the past 14, 15 months,
right,
that you could share every experience with, that they totally understood what was going on, and then you're with a group of people who have no idea.
Right. And that's why the VFW, like, we're not on a recruiting drive here. That's not what we have Larry on for.
Really? Because I've got it listed here. Ask Larry about recruiting.
But it's just to try and demonstrate, to show some of the things that we're doing all over the country, and to highlight those efforts and the people that are doing them. Larry, I don't know about you, I do know about you, but okay, what about it? You know, hey, I don't want to join the VFW, just a bunch of old folks sitting around drinking beer, telling war stories.
Well, I got a pretty good answer for that. I was at a golf tournament for the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and it really did the heart good, Jerry, Randy. I mean, it was fantastic. After the game of golf, 18 holes, and you may have some refreshments with you as you're out there and falling out of the golf cart and so forth and just having a good time. And they would go into the club. Now you had World War II vets, Korean War vets, Iraqi vets, Vietnam vets, all sitting there talking and talking about their experiences in the military. It ends up being much more than an organization. It's a family, and it's one of the greatest organizations in the world. And it's a combat vet talking to a combat vet, because they can't talk to a civilian. A civilian will never understand what that combat vet was through. This is what the Veterans of Foreign Wars is about.
Hallelujah.
And, you know, you mentioned a word family there, Larry. Same holds true, I think, for the families of these veterans, too, because then they've got shared experiences with other families. And,
right.
And only those people can relate to what they're going through also.
Yeah, because it's hard on the families, too.
Yeah.
You know, their loved one is gone. They're deployed. You don't know where at in harm's way they're at. You don't know if they're coming home. So it's just as hard on the families being at home waiting for their loved ones to get back.
Well, Larry, listen, thank you for everything you're doing there in Pennsylvania. And good luck with the resolution you're trying to get passed there in the legislature. And I would understand that a senator that's letting you use his phone is up for just about anything. So if you made it that far, I have no question that you'll get the rest of the way with this deal.
We're going to work hard at it because our vets deserve it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, brother. Thanks for being on with us.
Thank you. Just have a good one.
All right. Talk to you.
Jens, you picked that up? Jens.
I heard the Jens.
Jens guys, have a good one.
Use guys.
It said you all, I would have questioned in Pennsylvania. Larry Wade.
Great guy.
He is a great guy and doing some great work in Pennsylvania. Hey, we got all kinds of stuff coming up right here on the National Defense. We'll be right back.
This is the National Defense.
The VFW is looking for a few more heroes. The largest combat veterans organization in America wants to get you involved and keep you active. With nearly 2 million members and 9,000 posts around the country, the VFW is doing the tough job of supporting our troops. You can be a part of all the excellent programs that keep the fires burning on the front lines. Programs such as Operation Uplink, with phone cards for active duty and hospitalized veterans, Adopt a Unit, which provides assistance for nearly 1,000 military units, and care package efforts for the troops serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. Only someone who's been there can understand what it means to be remembered. The VFW has been the heart and soul of the military for over 100 years. Isn't it time you stake your claim as a veteran? Call the VFW Membership Department at 1-888-JOIN-VFW or log on to VFW.org for more details. You've served your country. Now you can help your country serve others. Call 1-888-JOIN-VFW. That's 1-888-JOIN-VFW.
What do you want from the Wizard of Oz? Just messing with you. But seriously, people don't want to stand in front of my big, awesome wizard head and hear me going, duh. They want answers. That's why I go to USA.gov, the official source for government info. It gives me the smarts to go with the show. Say someone asks for a brain. I go to USA.gov, type in student loans, and 4 years later, they're chock full of knowledge. Is the Wicked Witch terrorizing your neighborhood? Well, move. Then search USA.gov for change of address form so your friends can find you and the witch can't. How about if you're stuck here from Kansas and want to go home? Well, check out USA.gov for the latest travel restrictions and passport applications. I even use it for myself. Bought my sweet ride at a government auction I found on USA.gov. I call it the Wizmobile. Balloons are for squares.
For federal and state government information, there's no place like USA.gov.
Welcome back to National Defense. Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. Jerry, clear something up for me, okay? We got this new administration that's coming in.
Yeah.
And all the talk right now is, you know, setting up his cabinet, the transition team, getting this thing done. And the thing that always catches my ear the quickest is Department of Defense and the Secretary of Defense.
Yeah.
And they're talking about maybe keeping Robert Gates
right.
as Secretary of Defense.
Right.
Because he served in several administrations, both right. Democrat and Republican. That makes sense to me. You know, but I mean, to bring a guy up to speed with everything going on right now
right.
has got to be impossible.
Yeah, not only that. I mean, Robert Gates, like you said, has served in several different capacities in several right. administrations. He brings a lot to the table, you know, namely experience.
And he knows where all the doors are.
Right, but he's brilliant.
Yeah.
And actually, when you if you go back and read some of the things Secretary Gates has talked about, some of the things he said, he and President-elect Obama, I think, are pretty close to being on the same page when it comes to Afghanistan.
Right? Yeah.
Especially
Good.
Afghanistan. You know, Secretary Gates, he didn't come in there, unlike former Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld.
Right.
You know, he wasn't, hey, we got to stay in Iraq, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know.
You're right.
No matter what, he's showed a lot of flexibility. He has shown insight and a deep understanding into the situation in Iraq that, you know, simply put, we can't stay there forever, right. and we shouldn't stay there forever.
Right, but just long enough to be effective.
Right,
right,
right.
And wasn't it Gates was in position before Petraeus was brought?
Yeah,
brought in. So
right.
so I mean, that's what impresses me about the guy, that a lot of things happened on his watch that were correct.
Yeah,
and to leave that guy in his place, and he has said now that he's not looking for that. You know, he said, hey, listen, I'm ready to go. I can retire.
You know, anyone who holds a cabinet position,
yeah.
seriously, you know, a right. lot of times we say, you know, damn bureaucrats. But really, when you're in a position that level,
oh, yeah.
there's a hell of a lot of stress, very little sleep, and you're talking 7 days a week.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, especially with what's going on now.
Right.
It's not like
right.
any other time in our history when, I mean, you got to pay attention 24/7.
And Secretary Gates, something that impressed me right out of the I hate to say gate, but
right out of the chute,
was he's the kind of guy. Hey, look, when we take casualties, he understands that they're people; they're not just right. numbers to him. He doesn't remove himself from it. When those letters of condolences go out, he personally signs those letters. He doesn't have
wow.
some secretary with a stamp doing it.
Is that right?
That's right. So, and that meant a lot to me anyway.
That's very impressive.
I thought it just spoke well of him. And look, he's a brilliant man. He respects, he loves our men and women in uniform. He doesn't want them going in harm's way, being killed, being injured. He doesn't want that.
Or staying there another day past what they should
say. Right. He wants to keep our country secure, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But he's smart enough to know that you can't do everything on a battlefield.
So that would be okay with you if Gates stays in place.
I don't think the president-elect could make a better move than that.
Plus, we don't have time for a learning curve. I mean, whoever gets in place in there, I don't care who it is, it's going to take some time for them to get up to speed on where things are.
Well, there are people already involved in government and in think tanks, and there's a lot of people out there who, you know, wouldn't have a very long learning curve. They could.
Right.
There's several people who could probably walk in and pretty much
What if you get the call? What if they call a Jerry Newberry?
Never happened.
We need for you to move to Washington, and maybe clean some of the floors for the Secretary of Defense. I think that right there, you'd have to make a decision.
If my president asked me to serve, what choice would I have?
That's right. All right. Now, you know, the other possibility with Gates is that he just retires and moves to Florida, because apparently that's what everybody in the service does. The new report out, Florida is still the go-to place for vets.
Sure.
I love the first line, old soldiers never die, they just moved to Florida.
Yeah, well, you know what, aside from the hurricanes.
Why are they any different than anybody else?
That's right. Who wants to, okay, I'm slowly working my way south. Yeah. You know, from
yeah,
Michigan
that's true.
To Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, winters here aren't too bad compared to Michigan winters.
Right.
That's a nice.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But seriously, who wants to put up with snow and ice and all that crap?
Well, I guess, so California is home to more veterans with 2.1 million, but...
Well, look at the size of the state. Well, look at the population.
But they say that in 20 years, Florida will surpass California for the number of veterans there.
Hey, why not?
I didn't say Jewish veterans. I just said veterans.
That's right.
You know, in general.
Especially if you're a retired service member.
Right.
You got that pension check in. What are you going to do? I know what I would do. I would be going somewhere warm, laying around on the beach.
Here's what I think we got to do.
Do some fishing, watching the babes walking around in bikinis.
Listen, babes your age. Anyway. Here's what
babes my age, I hope they're not wearing bikinis.
Well, they are wearing some appendage there, yes. But let me ask, here's what we should do. Let's move the show to Florida. Because, look.
Hey, CENTCOM is down there.
Yeah.
Florida does have a military president, especially Central Command. We had a... Have Nate call General Petraeus and set it up.
There you go. Absolutely. Move the show there. We're going to be based in Florida. We won't have to broadcast anywhere else. We'll be fine. I have all of our guests flown in.
Yeah.
You talk about easy to get guests.
Oh, yeah.
It
wouldn't be a problem.
Florida? Sure. No problem.
Yeah. Especially, you know, December, January, February, March.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's talk about this new renewal with NASCAR. This is really, really exciting news, because we were broadcasting from the Kevin Harvick Racing Industry Center about a year ago, and signing the agreement with the VFW and NASCAR, which at the time, very historic.
Right.
The first time I think that NASCAR has even had a venture this size with the VFW.
Absolutely.
Or any service organization.
Yeah. Don't remember.
I won't.
Please remember.
Thank you. Always forget.
I crack myself.
Always forget.
Hey, remember when we were down there? It was right immediately that on that first day.
Yes.
Who do we have there?
Fort Bragg.
That's right. We had troopers there.
Yep.
Their families and
they were just back from Iraq.
And they were just back.
That was cool.
We fed them. They spent time with
bust
the cage.
Them in.
Yeah.
250 of them, and man, they were so happy. And
they
then
were.
They were happy to to be back, but they were also happy that, you know, here they are at the Kevin Harvick.
They've spent time with all the drivers.
Yeah, Ron Hornaday was great. Cale Gayle.
Yeah.
And Kevin Harvick himself.
And those guys went out of their way. You know, when you schedule these things, we'll spend 10 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, they were there the entire day.
Oh, they had there were guys sitting in the cars.
Yeah.
You know, we were taking the pictures and all that kind of stuff. So that's pretty great that, again.
And we made fun of Cale Gayle.
Which we should have.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the guy's not old enough to drive yet. And then Ron Hornaday right now is 3 points behind Johnny Benson for first place.
Yeah.
How about that?
He's three points
out of the championship.
And this would be, 2 years in a row?
Yeah.
I remember at the convention when I interviewed him, I alluded to the fact that I was kidding him. That he was like number two last year. Man, you should have saw the look on his face. I thought he was going to blouse my eyeball. Yeah.
Well, as young as Cale Gayle is, that's how old Ron Hornaday is. Ron Hornaday is 70, 80 years old and still driving.
At least, yeah.
The guy's incredible. So, once again, congratulations to the VFW NASCAR for the partnership, because that is really cool with the Kevin Harvick race team. And is that another season you're talking about here?
Yeah, that'll be for next season. And, look, we're going to keep doing what we're doing, bringing troops in, bringing wounded troops in, bringing family members in, showing our support. And, it's a great way to demonstrate that. NASCAR is such a patriotic.
Well, a cool deal, too. At last Sunday's pre-race ceremonies, the VFW presents a $25,000 to Road to Recovery.
Right.
This organization strives to make a difference in veterans with mental and physical rehab programs. And NASCAR celebrated the accomplishments of current and veteran armed forces personnel in NASCAR racing. I mean, that's a great partnership. And
yeah,
I mean, it's
it
pretty
is.
Natural.
It's a perfect fit.
So anyway, thanks to Cale Gayle and Ron Hornaday and Kevin Harvick and all the guys. And Mrs. Harvick, who actually runs everything.
Right, and I can't think of his name. He's going to kill me. The pit boss who was on the show.
Oh, he's great, great guy.
Yeah.
Who is that
Whatever
guy?
Whatever your name is, we loved having you on.
Oh, he was fantastic.
Rick?
I think it was Rick.
I think it was Rick.
It was
Rick,
yeah. Well, thanks for listening this week. We'll be back next week. Of course, you can always get us at nationaldefense.com. Send us an email, message, whatever you need to. And we'll be back here next week, right here on the National Defense.
I never thought that this is where I'd settle down. I thought I'd die an old man back in my hometown. They gave me this plot of land, me and some other men, for a job well done. There's a big white house, it's on a hill just up the road. The man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up a flag and told my mom and dad, we're proud of your son. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best company. I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. I remember Daddy brought me here when I was 8. We searched all day to find out where my granddad lay. And when we finally found that cross, he said, son, this is what it cost to keep us free. Now here I am, 1,000 stones away from him. Recognized me on the first day I came in, and it gave me a chill when he clicked his heels and saluted me. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best of company. And I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones.